Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday's reports of the Avalon and Garcon Point Road light were that it was a, total catastrophe. Yeah, that's the word I want. Now, I talked to FDOT yesterday. They said they are watching it and paying attention to see how it works and what the best way to time the light out is. I figured it'd be a mess yesterday. The question is whether they can get it fixed, timed right so that it works well now or in the future. So far, I'm not a believer. But we'll see. Obviously, we will see. And I'm willing to give the engineers a day or two to figure it out. If it creates safety and doesn't harm traffic flow, then good. On the other hand, if it's what it's doing yesterday, then Chip Simmons is the Escambia County Sheriff, joins us every Tuesday at about this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I am doing well. I wanted to ask you, you had a kind of a big arrest. You know, you had a guy that you wound up finding a bunch of drugs and a gun with. Is this right? He had an AK-47, but it was one bullet loaded in the gun and not in the magazine. Is that right?
Well, I know that there was one in the chamber. I'm not sure about the magazine. But
okay.
It doesn't make any sense. Anyways, yeah. Well, one in the chamber. We're not even sure if he knew one was in the chamber, but we have to assume that when you have an AK-47 that there's a bullet in the chamber.
Fair enough. And a bunch of drugs, right? And this was the this is an 8-time convicted felon according to your Facebook page. Is that right?
Yeah, we made a traffic stop at Young and T Streets. We called our canines to check the car. The dog alerted, and then inside we found a list of drugs, methamphetamines, 31 grams of heroin, a little bit of marijuana. Here's what the concerning part was: 98 grams of fentanyl, a couple glass smoking pipes, and then that AK-47 that you mentioned, where they with a round in the chamber. I can tell you that obviously these are very dangerous. The fentanyl is probably just as dangerous as the AK-47 if you know what fentanyl does to people and the amount of overdoses that we respond to on a daily basis. So yeah, later on we find out, when we do our checks, that this individual had been arrested, Damian Bryant, and convicted 8 times in the past. Now we're not saying that to be critical of the state attorney's office or the judiciary. It's just some people don't learn. Some people you try to give them a chance and they get out of jail. There's programs available and then they continue to do things like this. That's certainly harmful to our community.
You know, we hear a lot about the importance of rehabilitating people, and certainly the focus of the new jail facility is largely on education, rehabilitation, reintegration, which is a wonderful and noble goal if you can pull it off. But at the other end of the spectrum, we got people like this that, I mean, there's no fixing this. It's just a question of, you know, how long can you keep them in, and can you keep them in long enough to prevent them from doing something else stupid? It's amazing. You also had I don't like to talk about these stories, but I think it's important to people be aware. You had a story of a young child whose head was very badly injured. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, we don't like to talk about them because they infuriate us.
Yeah.
Anyone that has any sense of morality understands that these are babies. These are infants, in fact. Weeks old, sometimes months old. And in this case, we got the report of a Brock Baumert, 27 years old. He was in charge of watching an infant and another young lady. And then comes up, find out that his mother, the baby's mother, gets called back to the house because this Baumert has been acting crazy, acting mean. We get there and find out that the baby... ultimately found out that the baby has a skull fracture, I think a broken clavicle, and some bruising and stuff around the baby's body. And again, as I said before, the reason we don't like to talk about him is because even though I'm sitting in the parking lot talking to you, it just infuriates me that people would do this sort of thing to a newborn.
Yeah, it is. It's another reminder of why, you know, we all have a community responsibility to pay attention, and not just for other people, but as for our own selves, you know, to know our limits, to know our anger, to realize if we're a danger to other people, and, you know, to get some help, to get some training. And, you know, it's the old, you know, breathe, leave the situation, you know. Anyway, it is very frustrating, but, you know, we want to work towards solutions as much as we can. You guys had kind of an odd story. Again, not one we love to talk about necessarily, but it's maybe important to realize the difficulty your deputies deal with. You had a story of a dog that was really challenging to deal with, right?
Yeah, again, as you said, we don't usually just talk about the situations we have with animals because, you know, I'm a dog lover myself. But in this case, over the weekend, we had to report to respond to an address on Garfield Drive. And the family, basically put it mildly, was having difficulty with their pit bull dog. The dog had attacked both members of the family. And when we get there, the family members were hiding on furniture and trying to fight the dog off with a kitchen knife. And the dog had already bitten both members of the family, who ultimately, at least one of the members of the family, had to be transported to the hospital by ambulance. Unfortunately, and the reason we don't like to talk about it is because this is an unfortunate outcome, was that we had to shoot the dog. The only way that the dog could be controlled, the only way that, quite honestly, we could save the members of this family was to put the dog down. And it's, you know, we worked with animal control, and apparently there was, you know, I don't want to describe too much of the scene, but it was a rather bloody scene, as you can imagine. And again, it's just indicative of some of the strange, you know, kind of wild things that Chicana County Sheriff's Office has to respond to.
Yeah, it's, as you say, it's a horrible outcome, especially when your officers have to do something like that. But, you know, there are times when that's really all you can do. It sort of raises a question that I wanted to ask you sort of in this vicinity. As you know, my wife and I, we always go bike riding all the time. And, oh, my God, the number of dogs that we encounter on our bikes is unbelievable. Most of them are friendly, but you never know, right? And so, I mean, we had a dog that ran into my wife's bike, like almost threw her off her bike running into it, and other ones that are barking and yapping, and you just don't know. A stick is good defense most of the time. You know, they get scared of the stick. But I've often wondered, you know, I typically carry, and if a dog gets out of control, what are the rules of something like, because if a dog's in the street, that, I mean, and it's a danger, it's not on somebody's property anymore, right?
Well, again, we talk about this a lot, and it boils down to reasonableness. I can tell you that if I'm riding a bicycle with my granddaughter or my wife, and a dog comes and is actually trying to bite us, I'll do my best to kick the dog away or to find another area, perhaps kind of scare the dog, try to scare the dog away. But ultimately, what an individual has to do is to protect themselves, whether it's with a stick, pepper spray, some sort of a taser, or sometimes you have to do that with a firearm. I can tell you, if you're doing it in self-defense, if you have legitimate fear, you know, for your safety or safety of someone else, then you have to take the action that's necessary. And in that case that you're talking about, if you think that you know, death or great bodily harm will occur, then I would think that you're certainly able to use that weapon to protect yourselves.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing to think about, but I'm just always amazed at how many people let their dogs just run around. And dogs that you know obviously are aggressive towards anybody that comes around. I mean, I know it's a country thing, but it's not a safe thing either. Now, Sheriff, you used to be the chief of police in Pensacola. I know, obviously, with Chief Leiter coming over and working for you and your close connections with PPD, as you guys have tightened your connections, especially dealing with major crimes and drugs and gangs right now, there's, you know, the separation between the two agencies has never been smaller, which is a good thing, in my opinion. But it does raise a question for me, because I know you've watched with interest the Citizens Police Advisory Committee. They're now disbanding, but their recommendations are going to the city council. Did you have any thought about what you see them recommending? Or, you know, I mean, to my mind, a lot of this stuff is already being done, so it's recommending that we do what we're already doing. But, you know, kind of your perspective on their stuff.
Well, I think that, you know, obviously the panel, they weren't advising the Skin County Sheriff's Office, but I did take note of what their recommendations were going to be. And I guess my thoughts are twofold. One is that I don't want to criticize an individual for taking their time to try to, you know, to make things better.
Sure.
That's certainly something to be commended. But when you come up with recommendations that majority of which are already done or in the process of being done at the Pensacola Police Department and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, you know, it's kind of okay. The one thing, though, the one recommendation that the Pensacola Police Department hire more minority candidates, I wish they had spent a lot more time on exactly how are they supposed to do that. This is something that all law enforcement agencies have been working on for years now. We worked on it when I was a police chief. We work on it but I'm the sheriff of Escambia County. I don't think that this is necessarily groundbreaking reform to make that recommendation. In fact, I think it's easy to make the recommendation. the harder part, the more impressive part to me would have been for them to sit down for a couple of days and to actually, let's put a plan in place. Let's actually help the Pensacola Police Department recruit these minority candidates, because just to say do something when it's clear that every agency is trying to do that, sometimes that falls on not necessarily deaf ears, but some that's, okay, we've heard that before, why don't you help us do it?
Yeah, and it's, as you say, it's not something that they don't want to do. It's something that you desperately want to do and have not been able to successfully accomplish. So give us a how, not just a what. Sheriff Simmons, Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, as always, thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. We appreciate what you do for us.
You bet. Y'all take care.